The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the Builder Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. This is Bird's Eye View, Jesse and Mike here. Hank just woke up, so it's actually, he's got bedhead a mile high. It's kind of fun. It has been a serious week for Berkshire Sporting News. On Tuesday, longtime Drury boys basketball coach Jack Rissek got his 300th win. Congratulations to him. On Wednesday, so yesterday, Madison McCarthy, Wacona standout, scored her 1,000th career point. Today, Pittsfield girls basketball standout Harolyn Castillo has a chance to score her 1,000th career point. She's only 20 away. Generals host Springfield Central at 6 p.m. on East Street. If she doesn't get it today, she'll probably get it Saturday when Minichog comes to East Street, 1 p.m. game on Saturday at PHS. And then, of course, the massive news in the city of Pittsfield, the PHS and Taconic football teams are going to be co-oping in 2026. So just all kinds of stuff happening. As Mike mentioned, Wacona Park, which is also going to, you know, we'll see how that works out. I was cracking up because half the Facebook comments under my story about Taconic PHS co-op were just, well, who's the Thunder? I know the Braves. And then someone said, bring back
St. Joe's. You entered that corner of the internet.
Yeah, someone said, bring back St. Joe's, which made me laugh. What I can say is this was in the works last year, and it didn't happen. So it did feel as though it was probably going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
PHS has been struggling for numbers. Taconic has been struggling on the field. They have good numbers. And so, yeah, this kind of just... It was going to happen at some point. This is the way of the world now in Berkshire County, unfortunately, but just for large sports in general. Co-ops are the now and the future. Until we can get the population of the Berkshires to significantly rebound.
Yeah, people are going
to
have more babies, I guess.
Sure. I was going to say that there needs to be a new industry in
that
this
would be nice.
County.
Yeah, like a, yeah, big, yeah. Yeah.
You are doing your part with babies. I'll give you that.
I supplied two. I believe that's a... I don't know what national average is, but...
I think national average is like 2.5, so you're still doing pretty well.
Yeah, I'm not... We won't be. I don't think I'll be boosting that at all.
No, not really,
not after this morning.
Not after this morning.
Yeah.
In any case,
it's somewhat sad. It's depressing. It's kind of like
sad. It's sad.
It's.
This is two football teams that since I've been here have gone away.
Yep.
Drury and Greylock, and now Pittsfield and Taconic, and
so I guess four since I've been.
Yeah.
When I first got out here, St. Joe and Greylock both had their own team. We're 10 years-ish now. Within the last decade, we've folded essentially four football programs into other programs. It's just, so we'll have, six teams now?
Have six teams.
Oh, six teams entering next season. Is
Greylock and Drury. McCain will be on itself. That's North County. Then Wacona will be by itself. Taconic and Pittsfield will be one. And then you'll have Lee, and then you'll have Monument Mountain. It should be said that the program will be hosted by Taconic,
mm-hmm.
but it will play in Pittsfield League, the Suburban South. So they'll be playing with Wacona and Agawam, Amherst, Chicopee Comp, and Putnam.
Yep, and obviously then, at BCC, which was both teams' home.
Right.
And at least for the time being.
Huzik and Lee were both in a league with Taconic, so that league I think will just have five teams for next year.
Right, and no coach, their open application for coaching.
Correct. This is open application. I imagine both Pittsfield and Taconic coaches will be applying. It is very much open, and they were going to take their time, I believe, to figure out who the next head coach will be.
Will it still play in, will it be in MIA? Oh, that hasn't come out yet because MIA hasn't totally approved it, right? So we don't know division wise. Are they in D6 or D7? Or do they bump up to D5?
So that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
When the MIA approves it, that will certainly be a question mark. I would not be surprised if they're, because Taconic is in D7, Pittsfield's in D6.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised if they're in one of them just for this year, and then they boost up in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, for instance, they just did...
After they win the Super Bowl.
Well, when Huzik got Greylock and Drury, they stayed in D8, even though it's a three-team co-op.
Mm-hmm.
That was also, like, if you look at the alignments that MIA had, they had Drury on them. You know, and mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like when you do this thing late in the game, the MI, I think, kind of just like, all right, you can be this for now, and then mm-hmm. we'll deal with it.
Well, that news, yeah, that news didn't break till like summer, right? Was that summer? Yeah, so this is considerably more runway.
Yeah, they have way more time. I mean, realistically, they should probably be in at least D5.
Mm-hmm.
Will that happen? I don't know. Because, yeah, like they have an argument to be like, we're not ready to hit the ground running just yet, or mm-hmm. if we're hosting at Taconic, it's a tech school, then you can make that argument.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll be able to stay in D6. So yeah, will certainly be an interesting question. But yeah, it's, you know, it's tough because two biggest schools in the county, and you know, now they're co-oping in football. PHS was 7-1 just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, generally been a winning program the last few years. Taconic's had it rougher. But even still. You know,
technically, we're in the state tournament more recently.
Yeah, they were in 2022. Pittsfield won in 2021.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a very bad year. 1-7, 1-8 for those two programs that Pittsfield's long win was against Taconic. So yeah, it's tough to wrap your head around, but maybe not. I mean, this has been kind of the football's problem, if you will, for the last, I don't know, 15, like longer than 10 years, probably. When did CTE enter the vernacular, and when did when did the Will Smith movie come out? When did I just assume that's, you know, parents not really going for letting their kids play football.
That's
obviously not
in
mass, but a certain number of them are now kind of scared of it.
as it is. I mean, the CTE stuff happened in like the early 2000s, so it was quite a while.
So yeah, more than 10 years. Yeah, so.
Don't play with that button.
Oh, I got buttons.
Yep. Oh, you know what? He listened. He's listening. He's learning. Can't have you messing around with the knobs, bud. That's a computer, and you're not quite licensed yet to be working on it. In any case, yeah, the CTE thing I think definitely has had an impact, especially in the Northeast. Yes, parents don't want or are more concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in regards to the Berkshires, this is just not a unique problem of there's a population decline,
mm-hmm.
and so you have fewer kids to play, and you're looking at changing cultural norms about playing sports at a high school, and you have kids who are specializing in one sport at the expense of playing all others, and that's less because of kids and more because of parents. So I think it's just kind of those confluence of factors. Then you get to, well, okay, one... I mean, look, like 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Pittsfield had probably 800 or 900 kids. Taconic had 800 or 900 kids. And then you had St. Joe's with a couple hundred kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think, according to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, Taconic has like 799 and Pittsfield has 699.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's very, very different. It's,
yeah,
it's a different time period. So yeah, it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You would expect this to be a good program. You know, if you combine all the players that Taconic and PHS had, like, they should have some serious players. They should have some serious talent and be able to compete, especially if they have the right coach and coaching staff in place.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to watch the product on the field.
Yeah, I don't know if we can pull up our all Berkshire teams. And both of those teams were represented given their records. So there were kind of individual talents on either. It was just kind of a, I don't know, Pittsfield was super young. I think was Taconic pretty young, I guess overall pretty young as well. Some of their better players were seniors, but
yeah, I mean, you know,
it was
Ben
just
a thinness. You had Cooper Reed on the line. Ben Sykes for Taconic. He's a sophomore. Evan Rockabrun is a junior. Who else? There's someone else from Pittsfield who I'm forgetting. But yeah, they definitely should have some key pieces who will be back. It'd be interesting to see who they get.
Anwell Maya, I believe. Is that?
Yeah, I think he's a junior.
Junior, yeah. So it's, yeah, there's that silver lining of it that, like, oh, maybe we'll have a, like, if you take, would you rather have seven teams and have two of them be completely not competitive in the majority of their games, or have six teams and have arguably all six be competitive? That would be good.
Oh, he got that's good. Snot all over himself.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids who don't, there's one that probably won't play football. Mostly, I didn't play football growing up, but I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see. We'll just have to wait and find out when the new head coach is decided.
Mm-hmm.
That will definitely be a big question mark, I think, just in terms of how this attracts the city talent.
Mm-hmm.
This also certainly gives the new coach a legitimate opportunity with the Pittsfield Bulldogs to then come and say, hey, all of you guys are coming here. Let's create a relationship. Let's try and figure out ways that we can integrate the schemes that both programs use. Because before now, it certainly was more difficult when half the kids are going to Taconic, half the kids are going to Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. And so you can't really just teach them what you're doing if they're not coming to play for you. Whereas now you really can. You can do what Kona and Dalton do. You can do what Lee and Hoot and what both Lee programs do. And what we're running, you're running, or the type of calls you guys are using, we're going to use. And so you can really kind of build things up. But it will be interesting to see. Interesting situation to monitor. And yeah, another football program bites the dust, unfortunately. We will, I think we'll move on from football there.
Sure.
Take a quick break and come back with some basketball. So stay here.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Bird's Eye View here on WTBR, WSBR, Jesse and Mike. Hank is currently upside down. And we were talking about Pittsfield Taconic being a co-op, talking a little about basketball. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Drury, longtime boys basketball coach Jack Reset, got his 300th career win. I believe they will be honoring him before their game against Monument on Tuesday. So I don't know if you played for him, if you want to see something, you can go up there for that. Madison McCarthy got her 1,000th point against Connick. She was knocking on the door, and she needed 18 points because Kona was playing in the Hoop Hall Invitational this weekend. They won their first game. She needed 18 points to get to 1,000. And in their second game, she had 16, and they won 40-38. Anna Doyle hit a couple of free throws with about 30 seconds left in the game, and they clutched it out to avoid it overtime, which left McCarthy 2 points shy. And then Wednesday, yesterday, was their first game back. They hosted Taconic, and they knew they were going to win. Madison McCarthy knew she was going to get it. I think there were still some nerves coming into the game. She even admitted as much. Missed her first three-pointer. Mr. Second three-pointer, a little bit of a groan from the crowd, good-naturedly, because, you know, That's why they were. That's what they were there for. I enjoyed her friends and family were wearing black t-shirts that say number 32 for 1K because she wears number 32. And then third time was the charm. She pulled the three, swish, and big celebration. She was grinning. So that was impressive for her. She has had a great 3-year run here, given that as a freshman, you know, she was even fair to call her a key reserve, but she was certainly a reserve on a Wakona team that was pretty loaded and went to the state title game, won a Western Mass title.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Olivia Gambaroni, and you had Grace Wigginton. Grace Wigginton made 90 threes that season, which I went back and looked, kind of insane. And just threw a lot of shots that those two were putting up alone, ignoring the other upperclassmen on the roster. And so I think she had something like 120, 140 points, which isn't bad for mm-hmm. a reserve. But, it's not like sometimes you're a freshman and because the team isn't so hot, you're getting starting minutes and you're putting up 200 points. That was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And she still then in 3 years essentially scored something like 900, 850 points. And now is over 1,000. She had 22 points. She made her last four three-pointers she made in a row. Did not miss, which is very, very impressive. So she is now, she passed former Wakona standout Shannon Huzik, who graduated in 2002. So she has, Madison McCarthy has 1,020 points for her career past. Pittsfield standout Jamie Duquette, who graduated just a few years ago. And yeah, we'll see how high she can go. The Warriors have 7 more games left in the regular season. Then you have Western Mass and state tournament. So we'll see what she can do given the time she has. I believe the next Wakona player is at 1,100. So she certainly could get up there.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps scoring at the pace she's at. So yeah, credit to her and her team and Coach Liz Kay and the success they've had because, 2 years ago, 2024, Pat McLaughlin on the boys' side scored 1,000. The year before that, Brody Calvert scored 1,300, set the school record for boys. 2 years before that, Maria Gambaroni on the girls' side broke the school record for points. So, been a lot of high-level scorers for Wakona in the last few years. And then, yeah, Pittsfield's Harolyn Castillo is knocking on that number. She only needs 20. Pittsfield survived Frontier on the road last night. That was a pretty impressive win because Frontier is the number 2 team in Division 4 in the state rankings and is the number 2 team in Western Mass in Class B. Pittsfield is the number 2 team in Division 3 in the state rankings, number 1 team in Class B, is reigning champ. Pittsfield actually beat Frontier in the semifinals last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was just a big game between two very, very good teams. And Pittsfield won on the road, which is never easy. And I imagine this was a game Frontier had circled. And it seemed as though Pittsfield kind of did what scares us, which is they go through large stretches of not scoring. And that let Frontier back in the game late. And Pittsfield clamped down in overtime and got the win. And so, yeah, now the Generals are looking pretty good. They got a nice win streak here. And they have 2 huge games coming up against Central and Minichog. I was going to toss that to you, Mike, but I don't know if there's a child underneath
you. Yeah. I'm just worried about cords.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Basketball-wise, I was last night over at Pittsfield High, and the boys were coming off a trip to the Hoop Hall, and they had to squeeze in another game, so they wound up playing 4 games, 5 nights. Never easy. Monument didn't have to play a game in between Hoop Hall, which is 2 games over Saturday, Sunday, and then this game. So Monument, a little fresher. I don't know. I guess that weighed in a little bit, but Monument was missing one of their starters, so that you take that and all comes out in the wash. But Pittsfield has now lost 3 straight. They are so that's 4 games, 5 nights. They won their first game of Hoop Hall, then lost on Sunday to I don't even know, some team from New York, I believe.
Who? Oh,
Pittsfield lost at Chaminade, Long Island. then go out to Holyoke, lose by 11. Monument comes to town last night and kind of stuns them. I was thinking, like, what does the rest of the Berkshire League think when they see that score? Are they shocked? Do they kind of realize that, okay, Monument was going to figure this out eventually? This is still a team with some really good basketball players, a team with a really good coach, and a team obviously coming off a trip to the state final last year. But I still think, just, you know, when we're kind of looking, judging how this is going to come out, Pittsfield and Wacona were the last two teams with only one loss in the Berkshire League. This knocks Pittsfield from that. They will have to play Wacona again. But now it's a little more like back to a drawing board somewhat for Pittsfield and Jerome Edgerton. This is a team that, yeah, like, I want to say they did similar last year, where, like, okay, oh, they're legit. Like, midway through the season, you know, they're 8-2, and this year's in particular, they're 8-2. We didn't really expect that per se. Maybe we expected them to be fine, but 8-2 was probably, they were probably over their skis at that point. And now you fall back to earth, 8-5, and you get, I guess, I would hope, like, humbled maybe or something by this Monument loss.
I think
there's definite concerns, definite things that they need to both figure out and just learn not to do. Like,
the issue with the Monument loss is that it's a repeat. This is a lesson that should have been learned, and it has not been. Where you're taking threes that are contested way too early into the shot clock. You're looking for the heat check. You're looking for the heat check, and you're not kind of playing consistent offense, and that's putting you in a hole, and that's why you're losing. And they learned this against Wacona in a game they led by 15 and then lost in overtime. And so it's just, if the lesson will be repeated until it is learned, you know. I think
that's why I think this is, yeah, this is somewhat bigger, like, can kind of echo a little louder, given that. So they had four losses entering this game. Two were at Agawam, at Holyoke. You kind of throw those out. The Wacona game, you lost in overtime, and it's Wacona who, you know, was at, you know, on a, what, 8-0 start to the season. Maybe not at that point, but they were kind of looked to be the class of the Berkshires anyway. This one is a Monument team that you beat by 20 in Great Barrington earlier this season. And it's just the foul trouble for Quincy Abele.
And Monument was missing one of its best players.
Monument, arguably their second, third best player was out. Finn Mason didn't play. Finn Wheeler did play. Finn Mason, yeah, had 150 points entering the game. Entering the game that he didn't play. He was okay at hoopball. Wheeler was the big scorer at hoopball. Anyway, just the Quincy Abele thing, like, He is really, really good. Really high-level basketball. Made some really impressive shots over Dom Kaluti, fadeaways, just like touch passes, driving kicks from him too, coming from a big man, was very impressive. But, like, got into foul trouble with some fouls that, like, he just can't make. He's just too important to get himself into that situation. I get it. It's hard to play against Dom. Monument is, like, perfectly prepared to rack up fouls on a big man, because they have another big man who's bigger than your big man. They also have Finn Wheeler, who's an excellent just penetrator, getting to the rim, and is strong enough now that he can kind of go through the contact. I don't think he was that last year when he was kind of coming off the bench for them.
Both Finns looked like they weighed about 17 pounds last year. So.
Yes. Some more muscle on him this year. He was very impressive, but... yeah, like a belly, his fourth and fifth fouls were that, essentially. Like, Mason drove baseline on him. He fouled him for the fourth. And then the fifth one was Kaluti kind of got position on a rebound, went back up, and a belly tried to go over the back to block it, which he did. He blocked like six shots during the game. That was very impressive. But, time, situation, all that stuff, just they got to kind of figure it out, because this is getting harder, not easier for them.
And that was
the
thing with Wacona, is when he was out of the game, the offense just vanished. And that seems to be the case for PHS.
Last possession is just, it's almost bizarre to look at it and know, like, we know who has the ball, like, what those kids are capable of. Those five, they're playing five out at that point because they had no big men. and just none of them could get by anybody on Monument, or none of them were willing to do it.
They weren't trying.
So Monument, yeah, just threw this like 2-3 zone, very basic. Monument's up one after a Finn Wheeler free throw, back on defense, and Pittsfield just kind of passes the ball around, you know, takes 1-2 dribbles in, back out, passes it, and then Braden Sullivan puts up a three, front rims all the way back to midcourt. He got the rebound, passes to, you know, they passed around a little more with a fresh clock, and Noah Cain-Smalls puts up another three with a guy jumping out at him, and that misses. Khalid gets the rebound, and that's pretty much it. Monument gets back to the line, and once, yeah, like you just can't box out Don Khalid at that point. So, yeah, they really needed to attack there. Like,
yeah,
you're down one.
That was,
you're
was
down one. You have five drivers
McCona.
On the court. Those are
same.
Five drivers, not five shooters. Five drivers.
It was the same thing against Wakona, and yeah, that's just. Oh, thank you, bud. That's a thumbtack. You probably shouldn't be. You know, you oh nope, don't eat it. You definitely shouldn't be eating it. There we go. Your dad will take it for me. Thank you, Chief. If you want to go sword fight, who's the mouse?
Talking about like the lion. No.
The book about the mouse with the sword.
The Nutcracker?
No. Nutcracker's a crazy pole. In any case, Oh, this is gonna bug me.
I think about the mouse pulls the thorn out of the lion's paw. Is that right?
Oh no.
You want me to start listing famous mice? Fifel, Stuart Little. Let's see. Can I go beyond? Can I go beyond Fifel and Stuart Little?
Is it Martin the Warrior? No, Redwall. I don't know. In any case,
Ricky Tikki Tavi.
This is gonna irritate me.
Muskrat or something.
In any case, so Pittsfield, this is kind of just brought back to the drawing board. They're going to have to figure themselves out. Like you said, it doesn't get any easier. They're in D3. They're fighting for position in the D3 state tournament.
They have a full week off. They'll be at Wakona next Wednesday. So this is a kind of good, solid week to work on some stuff, to practice some stuff, knowing that you face kind of a must-win if you want to have a shot in Berkshire League.
Pittsfield has done them a massive favor by A, giving Drury a second league loss, and B, losing to Monument, because now Wakona is alone in first place in the Berkshire League. And if the Warriors beat PHS and Drury, they take the league.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're in a great spot to claim the Berkshire League. They're hot. They are the second seed in Class B, although Class B has been the domain of Berkshire teams,
because mm-hmm.
the first year of this new Western Mass format, Taconic beat 6. The second year, Taconic lost to 6. And the last 2 years, we've been treated to Monument Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm.
Because of realignment, the same realignment that moved Pittsfield from D4 in sports like soccer and volleyball and baseball back up to D3, that same realignment moved Springfield SciTech and Holyoke from D2 to D3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Holyoke in boys basketball said, we want to play in Class A, so they opted up. But SciTech went from Class A to Class B, and so now SciTech is the number one seed by a wide margin in Class B. And they look like the new favorite to beat, and so that will be a very interesting challenge for Berkshire teams to find and face a new program that's much larger and has generally competed at a higher level. And you know, even if they haven't been extremely successful in Division II, they are still competing at a higher level in Division II.
Yeah, which also probably means we don't get Boys and Girls Club for Class B
unless somebody knocks off SciTech in the semis or quarters.
The three seed can. Pull that one. So that, I mean, that three seed is probably going to be Wakona or Pittsfield. So it would be one of those.
It'd be one of those. All right, that's just about all the time we have. Thank you all for tuning in. Like I said, Harlan Castillo for Pittsfield, Chance for 1,000. I guess I can mention Joey Abderhalden of Lee and Aiden Wicks of Hoosick Valley. They're not quite near it, but they're knocking on the door. They conceivably with a strong close of the season, especially Wicks is about 115 away. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a good rest of your week. Have a good weekend. Stay warm. Hopefully everyone's heat is working. And yeah, take it easy.